Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to See Westworld, right?
Hi, everyone. It's Stephen Ray Morris here with a very special fun series that I'm going to be doing over the next month or so. So if you don't know, Westworld is a current TV show, but it was originally based on a 1973 movie written and directed by Michael Crichton, who was the original author of Jurassic Park. And it's really exciting that currently the two biggest Michael Crichton franchises are Jurassic World / Jurassic Park and Westworld. And it's funny, I've never seen the original until now. I haven't seen the TV show or anything like that. But I've always wanted to. Again, I love Michael Crichton. He's one of my favorite authors, and I've read most of his books. And truly, I can totally, the original Westworld concept is such a prototype to Jurassic Park that I just always wanted to check out the original movie, and I wanted to watch the TV show because it looks really good and it has had great reviews. Second season, I hear it gets pretty wild, but season 3 of the Westworld TV show is coming on March 15th. So I thought, why not? Wouldn't it be fun? Because some of my favorite things, it's like, I love the water cooler thing of where you're like, hey, on Monday you get in and you're like, oh my God, did you see Game of Thrones? Did you see Succession? Big Little Lies or something like that. So I really wanted to do that for Westworld season 3, but I had to catch up first. So that's why we're here. We're here to catch up just in time for Westworld season 3. So this is the first episode. It is about the original Westworld that I just watched, like not even 20 minutes ago. And then I'm going to be covering season 1 and season 2 in their entirety, just because let's just get on with it. But for season 3, I'm basically going to be releasing episodes. I believe the show airs on March 15th, and that's a Sunday. So basically like Monday morning or like after I record, I'll do, these won't be super long episodes. They might be like 30 minute recap review type things. But I love this water cooler idea, and I really wanted to do it with a show. And what better show to do it with on See Jurassic Right than Westworld? So actually, I just had a thought of, well, although I believe when Camp Cretaceous drops, the Netflix animated Jurassic World show, I believe that, it's Netflix, so it's just going to dump it all at once. So you won't quite get that week to week viewing, kind of like I feel like a lot of us recently had with The Mandalorian, where it was that exciting thing of like old school tuning into a TV show every week. For a lot of people also, that was Game of Thrones. And so Westworld is an HBO show, so it'll just work out that way. But I'm just really excited to every week get to watch along the show. And I hope some of you are interested too, if you have never seen Westworld before. I mean, Westworld is truly the proto Jurassic Park in so many ways. And watching the original movie, I was almost surprised at how many kind of callbacks and allusions that either Michael Crichton built into Jurassic Park, or maybe even Spielberg had an allusion to. And just reading a lot of the trivia, which I'll share with you, how much of an impact Westworld had in kind of popular culture, popular sci-fi film culture, even though the original Westworld movie, I don't feel like is kind of as praised or remembered as fondly, it definitely had a huge influence. And so that's what was really cool. And so there will be spoilers. So I guess go out and watch the movie. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to spoil the movie. I'm not going to beat by beat go over the film. I don't know how long this is. This will probably won't even be. I mean, I don't know. I don't even need to worry about how long it's going to be. But I just wanted to share my thoughts for this first episode on the original movie. And then the next episode will be going over season one. And then the next episode after that would be going over season two. And then we'll be breaking down season three week by week as it comes out. So without further ado, let's just start going over the movie. So Westworld 1973, written and directed by Michael Crichton. The genesis of the movie itself was recalled back in Jurassic Park, that Michael Crichton was very interested in. He went to Disneyland and was like, whoa, what if these robots start killing people? And of course, yeah, Ian Malcolm, Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park, you know, what if Pirates of the Caribbean breaks down, the pirates don't eat the tourists? And so I right off the bat, even just the idea behind Westworld is tied up with Jurassic Park. And again, it's the same, you know, very basic premise idea. There's a theme park that you can go to. And I do find it interesting that Westworld is kind of the darker adult side of things, and Jurassic Park is the more kid side of things, where it's like Westworld, it's you get to kill, fuck, and, you know, kind of live out the carnal desires of the flesh, and you get to kind of, I think the movie really, in terms of Michael Crichton's kind of classic corruption of power and dangers of science and all those things, and corporate greed and all that stuff. I think Westworld and Jurassic Park are really two sides of the same coin. You know, Westworld really deals with, again, these sort of the almost like lawlessness of adults. And it's like the film opens up with, my dad always jokes about me using the word verisimilitude, but for, you know, Michael Crichton, that is what's key. All of his books have these little touches, these little things that make you feel like you're reading about a real thing. And I think that's what, it was just like watching Westworld for the first time. I was like, oh, this is a Michael Crichton movie, because the film opens with almost like a testimonial or like infomercial, like, hello, I'm here, you know, for Delos. And what did you think of Westworld? And what did you think? And it's like all these like middle America, like regular folks just being like, oh, I got to stab people and I got to shoot people and I got to like make love. And, you know, like in these. So in Westworld, there's not only Westworld, but there's Roman world and Roman world and medieval world. And so truly it is like, it's this kind of, I don't know, it feels very prescient, like looking at it now, and these ideas of immersion, again, verisimilitude, like it just, it watching this movie, I was just like, this is, all of this stuff is not only, you know, foretelling Jurassic Park, but just in general, our society of escape rooms and theme parks. You know, I think of Hogwarts and the new Star Wars lands and stuff at Disneyland and everything. Like, it's just, we're a couple years away from, you know, because even in the Star Wars land and stuff, there's like characters that treat you like real and you can interact with them. And, you know, Hogwarts has, you know, all the realistic. So like these ideas of immersion. And, you know, Michael Crichton was just nailing it back in 1973 with Westworld. And it's just truly something that, like, I think, you know, in that kind of classic sci-fi cliche of just sort of, you know, Westworld really like indulges in that kind of darkness. The idea that it's like, there's just a scene in the movie where there's like a bar fight and everyone's just like having a good time smashing drinks over and punching and killing robots and stuff. Like it's there. There's a lot of like depravity in Westworld that, like, funnily enough, like the original Jurassic Park, the book indulges in those kind of darknesses. Hammond was the dark side of Disney, Michael Crichton said at the time. But I think in some interview he was like, but Spielberg was much more forgiving and kind of made Hammond the flawed dreamer and all that stuff. But in Westworld, Michael Crichton isn't pulling any punches. I mean, these are people wanting to like cheat on their spouses and stuff. Oh, but it's just robots. And, you know, there's all this kind of stuff. It's just really interesting. So, yeah, the film was directed by Michael Crichton, written and directed. It was MGM. I thought MGM was like a shady studio at the time. I was just reading and watching some videos and it was like, well, you know, I guess we'll give you guys like $1 million to make it. It was like barely any money. And you know, ended up being the highest grossing movie of their year for MGM. But I thought was really interesting, like reading the trivia, because the other aspect of the creating, because it was, again, this idea of like, because Michael Crichton's written Twister. Also, like, Michael Crichton has in most of his books adapted Congo, Andromeda Strain, Jurassic Park, Lost World, Timeline, Disclosure, Sphere. But my Westworld was never a novel, and it was because these lands that we inhabit were based on our conception of what those are. And I thought that was actually really smart, where he's like, no, we don't actually know what medieval Roman and Western times are. We just know what they are because of the movies. So then the idea that because of MGM wanting not spend any money, they were reusing sets from other movies. So it's like Blazing Saddles was the Western sets and everything. And I kind of thought there was like a kind of poetry to that, that by the very nature of the film it's making, these, and he also said, I was watching another interview where it's like these, the worlds are based in these cliches of the duel and sleeping with the, you know, the saloon brothel and the bar fights and, you know, the piano playing and then it stops and, you know, all that stuff. So it just makes sense that even in the very fabric of the making of the movie, it's like these are already things that exist in popular culture. I thought that was actually really neat in terms of looking at the making of the movie. But then, you know, and then there's the, so that like the movie basically it well, here, let me just go through the stars of the movie. So it stars Richard Benjamin as Peter Martin and James Brolin, who looks like Christian Bale in this movie. It's crazy. As John Blaine, and basically like it's like we focus in on two businessmen who decide to spend a couple of days living in this place, you know, kind of living it up. And John Blaine seems like, who's played by James Brolin, seems like a guy who's like addicted to this place. He's like, I love to come here. And I like you can tell he's gone through this a million, like he doesn't even, you know, on airplanes when they, you know, do the whole safety thing, they do kind of a thing like that. And again, there's all these parallels to Jurassic Park. There's kind of like a short film that kind of explains the concept, kind of like the Mr. DNA and all that stuff. But, John Blaine, he's like, I've seen it already and stuff. And you can tell he really just I don't know. It's funny. I mean, again, for me, one of my biggest, like, as an adult, instead of going to a lot of different things every weekend, it's like, oh, I have a pass to the Natural History Museum. Oh, I have a pass to Universal Studios. Like, I want to, kind of indulge in the things that I like over and over again because I know that these are my escapes, you know? And so you can kind of feel like John Blaine is kind of that guy where it's like, yeah, I head out to Westworld like once a month to just blow off some steam, you know, shooting a couple people, having sex, you know, with robots. Are robots good at making love? I don't know. But and then Peter Martin's like the greenhorn who you kind of, again, this movie is very minimal. And I think that's just by very nature of the budget and all these things and stuff. But I actually kind of appreciate how minimal it is. It's a very like, I feel like a lot of 70s movies are very lonely. And this is like a very, especially towards the end of the film, it's really contrasted between sort of the depravity and stuff, the even you hedonism bot, I apologize for nothing, like it's just very depraved and immoral and stuff. And then the rest of the film is just spoiler, Peter Martin, aka Richard Benjamin's character, who directed the Money Pit, Peter's character on the run from the other star of the movie, Yul Brynner, as the gunslinger. And reading trivia, the gunslinger's character inspired Terminator. And I think there's a few. Yeah, Terminator and John Carpenter's Michael Myers in Halloween. Just this kind of silent, immovable force that is going to hunt you down. And so the movie has a great contrast, I think, between the beginning and the later half when Peter Martin's like the only human left after the robots have gone sentient and killed people and stuff. So, but yeah, basically Michael Crichton was like, this only works as a movie, and decides to direct it and all that good stuff. And yeah, like, again, the movie, what's interesting, what I also like about Michael Crichton's stories is that, yes, there's these kind of big events, but there's a lot of little things that lead up to it. You think about Jurassic Park and, you know, obviously Nedry is the person to shut down the power. But was it Hammond's hiring of Nedry? Was it the design in the system? Was it the fact that the dinosaurs aren't predictable? You know, they don't adhere to schedules, as Malcolm says. Was it the hurricane? There's a lot of these little things that lead up. And so I think Michael Crichton was really, the way he directs Westworld and the way that the story unfolds, it's you by, so the movie essentially has kind of three main storylines-ish. You have Richard Benjamin and James Brolin, Peter and John, who are in Westworld. And it's kind of, again, the newbie, you know, Peter is being shown the ropes and getting to indulge in all the kind of fantasies of being in the Wild West. And then you have, I believe, what is his name? I don't see his name on IMDb. I can't, but, Dick Van Patten, I think his name is. Yes, yeah. Dick Van Patten, he plays the banker, and he's essentially the, is he the banker? Let's see. Let's double check right now. I believe he's the banker. Well, hopefully that I'm correct in that. But but essentially, in medieval world, you see kind of a lecherous businessman who's just like, there's one moment where you have these computer programmers like, we need to make the queen able to cheat on the king, because that's what this guy wants. The guest wants. It's all about what the guests want. So you have this guy's story where he's basically just trying to get it on with everybody, with every woman in medieval world, from the queen to a lowly servant. And then you have the behind the scenes with all the computer programmers and the robot technicians and everything, the main chief supervisor is Alan Oppenheimer, who is in the $6 Million Man. And what I love about this movie, and I'm actually excited for the TV show for this concept, is where you're kind of in this realistic space of these different worlds. And then all of a sudden you're like in high tech bleeps and bloops, and they show the process of like repairing the robots, and they show everyone running the programs. And it's this idea of like, all right, make sure the bar fight happens right now. 3, 2, 1. And so, you know, all right, we're turning on the park for the day and all that stuff. Again, a lot of parallels to Jurassic Park in that way of the control room and things like that. Oh, and the thing that, when I first knew that I was in for a real treat with Westworld is when they said spared no expense. And I was like, all right. Oh, man, the DNA, truly between Westworld and Jurassic Park is truly like cemented for me. I mean, and again, that's the kind of thing where I wonder, did Michael Crichton write that line into, you know, early drafts of Jurassic Park that were then adapted by Amalia Scotch-Marmo and David Koepp? Or was that Spielberg being like, or David Koepp or Amalia Scotch-Marmo being like, we should definitely throw that spared no expense line and as an homage to Westworld? I don't know. If anyone knows, let me know. So yeah, you have the behind the scenes, you have John and Peter experiencing Westworld, and then you have this this kind of lecherous businessman in medieval world. And then you kind of have Roman world as sort of just a tapestry. Roman world, again, is like, and I want to hear from all of you which world you would want to be in of the three, or what kind of world would you invent for yourself if you could invent another world? Again, I think in the Westworld TV show, I think there's like a samurai world or something like that. Or, you know, again, if we were truly doing a Crichtonverse, Jurassic Park would be one of the worlds in Westworld or something like that. So yes, you kind of have these three thrusts of the storyline, and to go back to the main thrust of the story, it's all about these little things breaking down and lack of confidence to then building up to the moment when first a robot snake attacks James Brolin's character, and then a medieval woman rejects the banker, and then eventually the Black Knight stabs the banker to death, and then finally culminating in Yul Brynner, the gunslinger, because he's been killed by Peter Martin's character a couple of times now at this point. And it's that repetition. And I think they're kind of hinting that idea of like, even though they're just resetting the robots every time, it's like there's maybe a built-in memory or something happening. And again, all that stuff is set up so beautifully with the, as the problems mount. I mean, there's even a part where like the main, the Oppenheimer guy, the chief supervisor, it's like, man, does anything work around here? And they're all talking about these problems. It's that kind of thing where they're, you know, it, at places you're troubleshooting, things are happening. And they said that like, oh, at the beginning, things were working, you know, within an expected range of problems. Like every, we know there's always going to be problems, but now, and they even allude, and people were saying, and like the trivia saying that like, in 1973, Michael Crichton is referring to the idea that these robots could get viruses, and that's why there's things breaking down, that it's not just like, oh, you know, one of the, a robot falls and trips. There's stuff like that, but that maybe there's something deeper in the central unit or something like that that is wrong. And there's just kind of this building existential dread that's really cool about the movie. To like, there's just a line where it's like, we like machines are now building parts of these machines. We don't know how they work. And it's just like, ooh, like I just got chills watching that. That was so cool. And I just dropped a pen. but yeah, the movie is just very, I mean, it's very 70s. It's very stark. Everyone's very sweaty in the Westworld. Yeah, it builds up to this moment where you just have this chaos. It's very actually similar to, which is the Jurassic World movie. And to me, Jurassic World is very similar to the original Jurassic Park book, and the idea that there's kind of these ups and downs of control. And so the middle of the movie, Westworld has this, you know, the big set piece where all the robots suddenly rebel all at once. It's not like this organized effort. It's just that all the robots are like, we've had enough, you know, and they just start killing all the guests and everything. And so it's funny because, I hadn't seen this movie till now. I think my conception of the movie was based off like the Simpsons episode that I think was a parody of Westworld. And so I had no idea that they showed Roman world or medieval world. I just always thought it was the Westworld and then the behind the scenes. But even the behind the scenes was a lot deeper than I thought. There's a point in the movie where like a lackey who's sent out to the park to fix a robot, he's just trying to escape. And he's just like, Peter Martin's character's on the run. And this guy's just like nervously trying to change a tire and everything. And then he just gets gunned down by the gunslinger. And, yeah, I don't know. It just, it's all layered very well and interspersed. And again, as things slowly fall apart, it, this pure chaos, and then it becomes this lonely chase through the desert. And then eventually off to Roman world. And then throughout the tunnels and everything underneath Westworld, where Peter Martin's character, Richard Benjamin's character, excuse me. Where Peter is just trying to find a way to get away, but he learned at this point that there's no stop, you know, that this robot's not going to stop. And so there's a great moment where he outsmarts the robot that I thought was really, that I thought was just really clever and fun. And like, even though I saw it coming, I was just like, oh, I'm glad they're going here. And again, I think more than I thought it would be, this movie does have a dark sense of humor, and I think has fun with it a little bit more than I, because I think the Westworld TV show to me seems very serious. So I kind of just assumed, and from the era that this is from, 1973, those kind of austere sci-fi movies and stuff, this movie I think had a little bit more fun, especially like there's a scene early on where everyone's getting dressed to go, you know, you're changing out of your regular clothes and you're getting ready to go to Westworld, and it's just playing this like, you know, very fun country banjo music. And it's just like, okay, I get it. Like, this is like, I think the thing that also I really liked about the movie is this idea that like, you are given this opportunity to live out these fantasies, to, you know, to murder, to have sex with anyone you want, to, well, not anyone you want, not the other guests, but like, you know, the robots, you get a chance to kind of live out these raw, you know, power fantasies. And yet what I love about Peter is that he's like, wait, like, I love that the beginning of the movie is him kind of being, because I think that's very realistic. I think even if we're told that we could do whatever we want, I still think like, I just think about the first time I played paintball. I've only done it twice, but I did it once. And the first time I did it in high school, it's like the first time I got shot with a paintball, I was like, ah! Like, and I'm like, oh, wait, it's just paint. Like, I think the rules of our society were so socialized that, like, even if somebody was like, no, here, you can shoot this robot, you can do whatever you want, I think a lot of people would probably hesitate. And I really appreciate that Crichton put that stuff in, that it's not just that humans are just going to immediately go do whatever they want and just turn into animals. Like, yeah, it's like if you are pointing a gun at a person, and even if you know that none of this is real, like, you would still pause. And then I, you know, and again, the joke of, like, of him getting with one of the sex workers in the brothel. It's like, he's like, oh, I've never done this before. And, you know, like, I don't know you that well. And it's just like, I don't know. I found that stuff to me, I think those considerations, I think, elevate the movie a little bit more than I expected. Instead of just like a raw power fantasy, yeah, everyone would totally do this. I do like this idea that, like, like for Christmas, somebody gets you a gift card and it's for a weekend at Westworld, and you might be like, oh no, like, I just want to hang out, and like, maybe I just want to run a saloon, or I want to run a mail thing, or just ride a horse. Like, I don't know if I necessarily want to kill in Westworld, like, even if they're robots. Like, I don't know. I liked all that stuff a lot. And I think, yeah, ultimately, like, elevated the movie for me a lot. So, yeah. And then, I don't know. It's just interesting. I guess I won't totally, like, spoil the ending and everything, but there is a moment where Peter, after having confronted, you know, this kind of this like monster where it's like, you keep thinking it's dead and then it comes back. And then there's a break where he helps somebody and it's not who he thought it was. I don't know. That part, well, was also very chilling too. And it kind of, again, I haven't seen the new show, you know, from the last few years, but I truly think this moment where he decides to help somebody who's not who they seem, I feel like that's probably the inspiration for the TV show, because I think in a way it's like, oh, how could you do a whole TV show about this premise? You know, just robots going crazy. Like, it just, it's like, why is Westworld in season 3? Like, there's got to be more to it. And I think the ending of Westworld, I think, is truly where it sets up all these possibilities of robot rebellion and sentiency and what makes us human and all that stuff like that, that I is making me really excited for the show.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm trying to think of a few other things, a few other interesting trivia. Some of the first digitized CG stuff was done with, like, again, I feel like the 70s and 80s had a proliferation of, like, or like experimentation of, like, what is it like to be from a robot or alien's point of view? And this is like a very, like, zoom and enhance kind of thing. I don't know. I thought that was very interesting. And the film was shot in 30 days, you know. Yul Brynner was having financial difficulties, so he accepted a pay cut to do this. Yeah, it's a pretty short movie too. I feel like it might only be, let's see how long this bad boy is. Yeah, it's only 88 minutes. I guess Michael Crichton did a re-edit himself because he thought the full length of the movie was boring. I mean, I guess I was seeing some reviews like Siskel, and, you know, the end of the movie is a lot more austere than the beginning. And I think that's very purposeful, but I also understand it is a lot of just Peter's character just kind of running down Like just running away from Yul Brynner, and just like lots of like sweaty close-ups of him, and just like stern, you know, close-ups of Yul Brynner as he's like, "Where is him? Where is this human?" But yeah, it's just again, I'll just reiterate here in closing. I think the movie just really nails and just these kind of ideas of, or it just, I think it definitely attacks the question a lot more interestingly than I expected. And I think it, compared to Jurassic Park, Jurassic Park is great because it can kind of hit nature versus science or nature versus man, and it can do that stuff. But Westworld, I think, and I'm assuming the TV show, is probably trying to attack human nature versus programming and stuff. So I thought that was really cool. And there, again, there's just some little things, allusions to Jurassic Park as well. It's like, there's a moment where Yul Brynner, because he's like a newer model, or no, he's not a newer model, but he has an upgrade that can see heat. And so there's just a moment where, so the robots, you know, they're cold. So like, that's the way you're able to distinguish between humans and robots in the world, because visually they look identical, other than the hands. Although I read somewhere that Michael Crichton was, the detail that the only thing that the makers of the robots didn't get right was the hands, was because, essentially, I guess in like old times, in Renaissance or pre-Renaissance medieval, it was, artists always had a hard time drawing hands. So I think that's funny that it's like, they've perfected everything else, but still hands aren't right. And I feel like anybody who draws, it's always hard to draw hands. So I don't know. I thought that was really interesting. But back to the heat thing. So there's just moments where it's like, oh, you know, like the Rexy can't see you if you don't move. There's like a scene where Peter is like holding still and then realizes that like, oh, Yul Brynner only sees the fire and not him. So it's like, and then again, this kind of stalking of Peter's character by the robots, very like Velociraptor intensity and stuff. And, you know, just all that kind of thing. So, yeah, if you've seen Westworld, let me know what you think of the original. I definitely loved it more than I thought I would. And I'm super excited to do this series. Let me know if you've already seen Westworld, if you're anticipating season 3. Again, I've watched the trailer for it and stuff, but I'm about to embark on watching the series. Probably tonight I'll probably start watching it. I'm excited. I love Michael Crichton. I love his works. And, you know, I think, again, it's just interesting to me that Westworld and Jurassic are very much two sides of the same coin, all starting from this theme park element and then sort of expanding outward. Maybe I'll watch the Simpsons episode too again as another special episode of the See Westworld Right segment. So let me know what you think. Again, thanks always for listening. And so hopefully from here on out, we'll have new See Jurassic Right episodes on Fridays as normal, but every Monday for the next month or two, we'll get to see Westworld Right. So until then, do the robot. Deep, 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 deep. No.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.